Fear is a powerful emotion. It's our body's way of protecting us. It's our intuition telling us there's something to be afraid of. The bad part about fear is that it's a liar. It brings up stories from the past, and everything that's ever happened triggers and layers upon our old wounds, and our fears just grow exponentially until we lose control of the fears and we end up in bed with the covers over our head. This is a time where we need to understand our fears. Trace Malone. I am the founder of NarcissistAbuseSupport.com. If you are looking for answers on narcissistic abuse, visit my website. We've got lots of stuff there for you, lots of resources. So I want to talk to you today about the pandemic that we're into right now. For the last 2 weeks, I've been on an island, which has been pretty cool to vacation and get some rest that I really needed. But I lived in a fearless bubble while I was on that island. I was sort of aware of what was going on in the world, but it hadn't touched us. And so I didn't experience what all of my friends and family were going through here back in the States. This week when I started my journey home, I realized how much the fear was controlling me when I started my journey at the airport. You guys know what empaths are? We all know empathetic and being able to feel someone's emotions. But an empath actually feels and experiences these emotions that someone else is feeling. So while I was in the airport, I could actually feel people's fear. And it was actually scary. I didn't know if it was me or if it was just me feeling it. Whatever way it was, me feeling it or it just being part of me, that now I was in this world of fear, it's immaterial. I felt it, and it was very real. But I also have the skills to learn how to turn off the fear, learn how to control my fear. And it's not that these tools are going to stop it from ever having a fear. Fear comes every day to everybody. Everyone experiences fear. And in this time, it's cray-cray, right? So while I was flying, I felt the fears. And when I got home, I felt like I had a cold. I actually felt shortness of breath. I called my doctor and said, I really want to be tested because I'm afraid that I might be contagious. Now, doctors didn't really want to hear me. They said, call me back when you have a fever. I hadn't been paying attention. I hadn't seen news. I didn't know that they weren't testing people. All I knew was they had tests and they were going to test people. Didn't work out so well for me. But what I realized was that this shortness of breath was actually just adjusting back to high altitude. And because of the fear, it put this thing in me that, oh my God, I'm infected. Once I learned and put that to bed and sort of said to myself, you know what? If I get the fever, I'll go on to the next step. But not letting that fear control me was an important part of this journey. Fear drove the car to get me to call my doctor. It wasn't me. I was just feeding off of that fear. We get so emotionally charged during these pandemic kind of things. This everyone in the world is experiencing this. But in our world of narcissistic abuse, what I have seen this week with talking with my clients and friends is, friends and family that have lost their jobs because of this. And I have talked to doctors who are and medical professionals who are on the front line, and they have to step up and be fearless, despite the fact that they have to return home and isolate themselves from their kids and their family because they could be contagious. I have friends that are designated mandatory workers in New York City and have to take the subway to work, and that's really scary for them. They've got to brave up and go there and do their jobs or lose their jobs, which is another scary thing, right? I've talked to others that are trapped at home with the narcissist. Is that what you're doing? It's really kind of like, it's so hard to deal with. It's scary and it's hard to deal with. I've talked to others that are co-parenting with the narcissist. And if you are co-parenting and you're worried about whether your ex who takes the kids is going to socially protect your children, or are they going to be lazy and look for alternatives that will put the kids at risk? you know, a lot of movies and things like that have been stopped, but that doesn't mean that you're not concerned about the safety of your children. I know others that have been ordered to work from home, but the kids are there now too. So now you've got a responsibility of taking care of the kids, and depending on how old they are, that could be quite the big journey and quite the big job. I've had other friends and clients that have been waiting for court dates, finalize their divorce, get their separation orders, get their temporary financial support in place, and all of the dates have been canceled indefinitely because of the courts and the backup log that this is going to create. That's scary. We start off with a core of fears. We start off everybody, shelter, food, our income, our housing, how will we pay our bills, right? And then there's this new fear. I couldn't believe it when I found it, but then I went to the store, toilet paper. What the hell's going on with that? But I'm scared of it. I only have 3 rolls and I'm counting the sheets. That's how fear is controlling us, right? And then we compound those basic core fears that are, you know, our own shelter, our food. And we compound them with, will I get the infection? Will my family be okay? When we go to the store and venture out, we pilgrimage out to get that toilet paper or try to find an orange to eat, and someone sneezes or coughs. The fear that goes inside of you. It's like, oh my God, like you felt a little bit safe sitting there in the grocery store, and now all of a sudden you realize, oh my God, that person could have sneezed on my can of peas, and I've got to take it home and wash my hands and wash everything. How will I survive? These are the fears that compound that core. The core is here, and then there's this whole world that's going on beyond that. Then there's this loss of freedom. Imagine that. All of a sudden, you can't go to the gym. You can't exercise and take out the stress that this is causing. You can't go to Starbucks. I have a friend that goes to Starbucks several times a day and works at a Starbucks. And now she's socially isolated at home, and she feels like her lifeline of human touch has been taken away. You know, when you've lost your freedom that you can't go out with your friends, you can't be with your family, you can't go play bunko with your girlfriends, or how about the fear and the lost freedom of being able to travel? I was lucky I got home. I could have been stuck on an island, and I know that sounds like, oh, poor Tracy, stuck on an island with 6 beds in a hospital that couldn't really compare and couldn't help me the way I can here. What if your family's in a location that you can't get them to? This is important. I want you to look at these fears. The first important part is to understand what fear it is. Write it down. Create a list. What am I afraid of? Well, you could have anxiety about losing your job, not being able to pay your bills. But make that list and look at them. Because each fear, if we can come up with some proven evidence that can help you get past this fear, get past the fact that you're afraid that you might not be able to pay your bills, look at where it is in your body. When I looked at it, and I laid down to do this, I like to lay down and go, okay, I need to de-stress. I need to self-soothe myself. Lay down, Tracy. So I lay down and I look at it and I think, where am I feeling this? Oh, for me, it's my shoulders. Oh, the stress that just tightens up my entire back. And then headaches. Headaches were coming, and I haven't had a headache really since my divorce. And I realized that headaches were an old friend of mine. Headaches were something that I had all the time with my narcissist. And I haven't lived on Advil, but that was a sign. Tracy, you're under stress. Fear is making you stressed. The anxiety levels are rising because of all this compounding fear. And then we've got all those things. We talked about the core fears. The next layer of fears are our shelter and survival fears. But we go even one step farther. We go even farther to bring back all the fears, the ghosts of the past, all the fears that have been instilled in us from this narcissistic relationship. We're building, it's compounding. So I'm feeling it in my neck, I'm feeling it in my headache, I was feeling it in my gut. And sometimes people overeat, or they don't eat at all if they're really nervous. Sometimes they're hypervigilant and they're running around the house, squirrel, 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 and they're just trying to focus, but they can't even focus because they're so much in fear. This is just triggering back all the PTSD that you ever had before. There's a book that I like to share with people. It's called Feelings Buried Alive Never Die. And I don't have it in front of me to show you, but when we hold in these fears, when we hold in this pain, we can manifest illness. And so we have to figure out where it is. Hold, when you're laying down, for me, also my solar plexus, right? Right here, the bottom of my ribs, I could feel it, and it was tight. When I physically touched it, it was so painful. I just sat there and I sort of massaged it. I was like, all right, it's okay. You're okay, solar plexus. It's okay. And I could actually feel just by pressing on it gently and holding it, I could feel it relax. You're like, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Sorry. But you can feel it sort of relax. And so when you're holding on to something, deep breathe and envision all of the fear leaving as you breathe out and all healthy, good, positive thoughts going in when you can. Listen to your soul and ask to understand these fears and then look at that fear. Use the example of how you might survive and pay your bills, because that's a big one on everyone's list these days. They say most Americans are $400 away from bankruptcy or not being able to survive another month. So the fact that you might have gotten laid off or you just don't know your future, you're blowing through your savings, this is scary, right? So thank your mind for this worry. Lay there and think and go, you know, thank you, mind. I really appreciate that that you're sitting here trying to protect me. But remember that whatever happens, you will be okay. You will handle it. I have another favorite book called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. I recommend this to all of my clients who are going through this fear. It's understanding and becoming friends with your fear and then telling and soothing your fear as if it was your child. If you can talk to your fear as if it was your child, you will feel more positive in the end. Think about creative ways. If you're going through that financial fear, think about what are ways that I can do to possibly make money. You know, lots of grocery stores and Amazon are hiring delivery food truck drivers. And you could use your car, make some money, and still be protected. You could be dropping things on people's doorsteps and still be protecting yourself, but make some extra money if you're really afraid of the fear. Don't let the fear put the covers over your head and not pay attention to it. Get creative, right? Plan a strategy. Think about what you might be able to sell. And remember, Nextdoor.com, Facebook Marketplace, and eBay are really good places to get that stuff and help move that stuff to put money into your pocket. It's an electric bill. I don't know what you have. It might be, you know, just that extra $10 that gives you a little more food. Think about what you might be able to cancel. Can you cancel something like, well, I'm going to say Netflix, but, you know, that's low on my list because that's my only entertainment now. But, you know, maybe you can reduce your cable package. These are things that you must understand. Call your electric company. Find out if there's ways that you can work with them. A lot of companies are offering relief efforts, even if it's just a slow payment. Don't not make a payment if it's due. Call them. Try to negotiate. Do the same thing with your credit cards. They are usually very willing to work with you, and that would be a big relief to know, wow, I talked to the bank and they're going to let me go another month, or I can just pay $15 and keep it easier. You know, housing is a big concern for people. So we know a lot of evictions have been lifted. So you can't get evicted right now if you can't pay rent. Of course, that doesn't really help the fear of what happens like when you get back to work. Now you're 2 months in the rears of rent. How will you ever catch up, right? That is something that worrying about that in the future is not helping you today. Right now, at this moment, you are safe, right? When I got bananas and oranges the other day, my safety level just quadrupled. I was like, I feel like I was, after not shopping for 3 weeks, I had no food in the house. So having those oranges and bananas on my counter just made me feel better. So, all right, people with mortgages, call the mortgage company. Ask them what kind of help they can offer you. Credit cards, deferments. Then I want you to start looking at taking back your life, looking at things differently. If we look at this as isolation, it is really scary. But what if we look at it as opportunity? Opportunity to catch up on things. You know what I did yesterday? My first weekend back, I cleaned the pantry. I organized things. I'm like, my drawers are more organized than they've been forever. You know, just look at what you would have done. Like, you always have these chores on your list, like cleaning the garage. Depends on where you live here. It's a little cold to do that. But what can you do? You've always said, if I only had time, I would paint the bathroom. Get a paintbrush out and start to do these things. Take back your life. Don't think of it as, I'm sitting here in isolation and nobody's going to see me. I'm all alone. Look at it as, what can I get done? How can I use this time to help me heal? That would be a great thing. What if the world could heal during this 6 or 8 weeks that we're isolated? Call a friend and family member. I spent the whole morning today, instead of going to church, I spent the whole morning catching up with friends and making sure they were okay. In the afternoon after my walk, which I strongly recommend, you can still walk. You know, get out there, get that exercise, clear your head, and clear the fears. Seeing other families walking down the streets or riding their bikes with the little kids behind or walking the dog made me not feel so isolated. I have friends that are really creative, and they are actually doing a dance party on Zoom tonight. No thanks to me, not a dancer, but it's a really good idea. 6 of them will be on the screen, and they'll be playing a song as if they were in a bar. They're being creative. That's what I want you to do. Last night they played Mahjong. I don't even know what game that is, but it's a card game, and they played it online with each other. Now you're not isolated. This is one, when I went out to get my groceries yesterday, take a drive. You're still isolated if you're in a car. You can just go somewhere and see trees and mountains for me, and maybe water for you. Something that makes you happy, but you're still isolated. You're in your little box. You're safe, and you're not breaking any rules. Of course, if you're in one of those states like California or North, then don't do that one. But while you can still get out, do that. Gather clothes that you might not fit in anymore, and just put them in a bag in your garage to donate. This is the time to do those sort of things. And stop watching the news, please. It's so addictive, but it's poison. Who cares about the patterns and the things? Watch it once. Don't listen to 600 experts talk about pandemics that, you know, well, according to our calculations, this might happen. That's throwing fear back in your heart. Turn on something positive. Listen to a really inspirational thing. Listen to TED Talks. Oh my God, doesn't matter what it is, just start listening and get inspired instead. Journal. And most of all, start to rest and try to exercise. If you've got kids, your job is to show them strength. Right now, you are the model for living and dealing with stress. Start to play board games again with them. Take away the Game Boys, take away the Xboxes, and play family time. If you can, work it into your day every day. Have them read books. You read a book. I'm going to put a link in the comments below to get a free Audible book if you don't have an account already. Go ahead and try it. What if you could think differently about this time? Put the fears aside and make yourself stronger. You have handled everything in your life before. Financial ruin? Sure, I did that. Well, if it happens again, I'll figure it out. But worrying about it right now isn't helping me. Face each day, each single moment, with this is what I can do right now. I can change today. I could sit here instead of going, I'm going to watch TV all day long and feel like it's a sick day. And after 5 days, you're going crazy. Do those other things. Make a list of what you want to do and what you want to accomplish. You can make yourself better. Fear is a liar. Take care of yourselves. Stay strong. And try not to panic if anyone sneezes or coughs. Just take the precautionary measures. It already happened. You can't do anything about it. You can get yourself home, wash your hands, and take care of yourself. There's no saying who's going to get this or not. But if you're strong and you are not living in fear, your cortisol creates this chemical that makes you weak. Don't let the fear do that to you. This is Tracy Malone. Thank you so much. Please be safe and sending love and light.